The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Pekudei. It's the last Parsha in Sefer Shmos. And here we continue to learn about the Mishkan, the sanctuary, where all of the different parts and sections and vessels of the Mishkan were counted, and Moshe assembles them. Now in the Mishkan, three of the major kelim, of the major vessels, were the Mizbeach, the altar, the Shulchan, the table, and the Oren HaKodesh. The Oren HaKodesh was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy of the sanctuary, and that's where the Luchos HaBris, the tablets, were kept in the Sefer Torah. The Mishnah Masechta Ovis, Perek Shishi, Mishnah Zayin, states as follows: Gedol Teira, Yese Min HaKohuna Umin HaMalchus. Torah is greater than Kohuna, priesthood, and Malchus, kingship. Shahamalchus Niknes B'Shleishimailas. In order for a person to be a king in Israel, he has to have 30 special attributes. Bakahuna be'esrim ve'arba. In order to be a Kohen, a priest, he has to have 24 special attributes. Ba'atorah nikneis be'mem chesdvorim. And Torah, for Torah you need 48. So therefore Torah is greater than the Kohuna, the priesthood, and the Malchus, and the kingship. So the Maral in his commentary explains, like we've mentioned many times before, the Gemara and the Medrash tells us that these three vessels each had a crown. And each crown represented a different crown which was given to Israel. Gimel Ksorime. And the Mizbeach, the altar, this represented the Keser Kohuna, the crown of priesthood, because on the altar was brought all of the sacrifices, the korbanos, which were brought by the Kohanim. The Shulchan, the table, this represented the Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship, because a king is always singled out by his material power and material wealth. And this is illustrated by his table. As a table represents a person's military material wealth, and it states kishulchan malachim, like a table set for kings. So therefore this represented the crown of kingship. And the Oren HaKodesh, the ark which held the Luchos HaBris, the tablets, and the Sefer Torah, this represented the Keser Torah, the crown of Torah. And these were the three crowns, and one was given to Aaron, this was the crown of priesthood, and one was given to David HaMelech, to King David, this was the crown of kingship, and one was given to all of Israel, whoever wanted to come, let him come and take, and this was the crown of Torah. Now the Maral brings, he says, a remez ledolar, an indication of this. An indication of this is the Torah tells us in these parshas the dimensions of these vessels. The dimensions of the altar was an amo al amo, one amo by one amo. An amo is a hand breadth, an arm breadth. And an amo was made up of six tefachim, six hand breadths. Now, if you'll take the altar that was an amo by an amo, and if you would measure its circumference, in other words, you would take a string and go all the way around the altar, an amo is six tefachim. So all the way around would be four amos, which would be 24. So this was a remez, this was an indication of the chof dalad milis, the 24 attributes that a person needs to be a kohen. The shulchan There the Torah tells us it was an amah v'chetzi gavayu ve'amah rochbei. It was 1.5 amas high and 1 amah wide. So if you would go all the way around, it would come out that you would have an amah v'chetzi would be 9 tfachim, and then twice 9 tfachim would be 18, and then an amah wide would be another 6 and 6 is 12, and 18 and 12 is 30. So this was an indication of the 30 attributes that was necessary for a king. The Oren was Amosayim v'chetzi orkei, 2.5 amos long, v'amo v'chetzi rochvei, and 1.5 amos wide. So if we would measure that entire circumference, the Amosayim v'chetzi orkei, 2 amos would be 12, and a half would be 15, and then doubled for both sides would be 30, and then amah v'chetzi rochvei, which would be 9, and doubled is 18, and 30 and 18 is 48. So that is the simon, the sign of the 48 attributes which one needs for Torah. And this is what this is what was represented in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, which included all of the achievements and all of the abilities of Israel, and the greatest height was that of Torah. Now we have gone in the past to explain how each of these aspects fit into the individual. I'm not going to go into that this evening, but what I would like to is, since the greatest of these attributes, of these vessels was the Oren, and it takes 48 attributes to acquire Torah, I would like this evening to go into some of the 48 attributes which are mentioned here in the Mishnah Novice. We won't have time for all of them, but we'll take some of them. One of them that's mentioned is Anova. Anova means humility. Humility and modesty. This is a prerequisite for Kinyan Torah, for the acquisition of Torah. Why? We learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe himself. The one who had the greatest Kinyan Torah, the greatest acquisition of Torah, was Moshe. He went up to Har Sinai. He received from Hashem the entire Torah. States that 40 days and 40 nights he stayed there learning Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a kala, as a gift, like a kala is given to a choson. And there was no one that understood Torah like him. He was kol el hakol. He encompassed all of Torah. And at the same time it tells us, U'meisha onef mi'od mikol odom al pnei adoma. Moshe was the most humblest man on the entire earth from all people. Now this was not coincidental, but there gave him there. One was a cause to the other. Because of his enormous humility, this gave him the preparation necessary to become a Torah, to acquire Torah. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin Memtes Beis, Simen Lagasis Haruach Anios. Wherever you will find arrogance, you will find poverty. The Gemara says, "My aniyos, what kind of poverty? Aniyos shel Torah, poverty of Torah. If you will go, come to a place. If you will come to a land or a city or a community where the people are arrogant, then you are sure to find poverty. What kind of poverty? The poverty of Torah." And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainis, "Omer Abchinina Baridi Loma Nimshel Divrei Lamayim." Torah is compared to water. Why? Water always tries to find, the nature of water, that it always tries to find the lowest place. If you put it in a high place, it will seek to go to the lowest place. Af divrei Torah, so is the nature of Torah. Torah also likes to leave the high places and seek the low places. It leaves the haughty and it seeks those who are humble. The Gemara also tells us in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Rebbe Kiva that when the Malachim came to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malachim came to Hashem after he gave Torah to Moshe, and they asked him, Heichon HaTorah, where is the Torah? And Hashem said, go to Moshe and ask him. And they went to search for the Torah. And when they came to Moshe, so they asked him, do you have the Torah? This Chem de Genuza, the most precious treasure of the Almighty. Do you have it? And he said, no. And they went and they looked all over the world for the Torah and they couldn't find it. And they came back to the Almighty and they said, we've looked for Torah and we can't find it. Where is it? So he said, didn't you go to Moshe? He says, yes, we went to him and he said that he doesn't have the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Badoihi, is Moshe a liar? Is he saying a falsehood? So he went to Moshe and asked him, why did you tell the angels that you don't have Torah? So Moshe said that this Chem de Genuza, this precious jewel of all jewels, which was created over 900 generations before the world was created, and it was never given to the world, and now it was given through me, and I should publicize that because of me it was given. He says, I don't want to say that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because of that it shall be called on your name. We should always remember the Torah of Moshe. So we see that the whole reason why it was called his Torah, because of his humility. So this is one of the prerequisites of Torah. And a reason for this is because we mentioned in the past, Gasis HaRuach, haughtiness, is a physical trait. People think that if they act haughty, if they act big, they're big. Really, they're very small. Because those people who raise themselves above others are actually limiting themselves. They are unable to identify with other people, so they're limiting themselves. To limit oneself is a quality of a physical entity. Because a physical entity has a dimension. It has a beginning, it has an end. Something which is non-physical has no dimension, has no beginning, has no end, has no limitations. Therefore, a person who separates himself, sets up mechitzas, he sets up walls between he and other segments of the population. This is a quality of the physical world. And therefore, a person who has gasi aruach is very physical. A person who is arrogant is physical. That's why it states by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Malchei Amlochim, he's the king of all kings. His abode is in the highest places, and at the same time, he's Avi Yisomim Valmonis. At the same time, he takes care of the orphans and the widows. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no dimensions. Therefore, he encompasses everyone. He can identify with everyone. So unlike people think that if you raise yourself up above people, you become higher, no, you're smaller. And this is a physical quality. And that cannot identify with Torah. Because Torah does not come from the physical world, it comes from a spiritual world. It comes from a world beyond this world. Therefore, wherever you will find gasi aruach, arrogance, you will find anios, you will find poverty. My anios, what kind of poverty? Poverty of Torah. To identify with Torah, you're going to have to be similar to Torah. And that's, Torah is of an unlimited nature. Spiritual nature, that's how the person would have to be. And that's the example of water. Water, of all physical matter, water is the weakest. It has the weakest structure. Generally, if physical matter, something that is physical, that you can feel, has a structure. You put it down, it retains its structure. You move it, it retains its structure. Water does not retain its structure whatsoever. It is such a weak physical matter that it loses its structure constantly. And therefore the Torah is compared to it. Mamayim, water, Einum is kamsin b'mokam gavaya, doesn't stay in the high places, but seeks the low places. So is it with Torah. So this is the attribute of Anova, of humility, that one needs to acquire Torah. Two other attributes that we find here is Simcha and Yishuv. Simcha is joy, and Yishuv means a relaxation, a settledness, a person who is settled. Why are these necessary for the acquisition of Torah? The reason for Simcha is also because a person who's going to acquire Torah must be able to identify with Torah. Simcha, joy, this is the sign of Shleimus Odom, of a person in his fullness. A person is in a state of joy when he lacks nothing. When he's in a state of fullness. For example, we see the contrary, the antithesis, that if a person loses something, it brings sadness to him. The greater the loss, the greater the sadness. Until we have Avelus Ananinus, that if, heaven forbid, he loses a member of his family, then it becomes a mourner. And the fullness of the person, the satisfaction of the person, where he lacks nothing, that brings joy. This doesn't mean that the more he amasses, the more happy he'll be. Because when you amass physical acquisitions, you are amassing more all of the time, but it's not necessarily bringing you satisfaction to the degree where you lack nothing. To the contrary, states Haretzer Yesh Lemona Rotzer Messiah, physical acquisitions do not have the ability to satisfy a person. The Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us. And we see this, because we see no matter how many physical acquisitions we have, we need more all of the time. See? That does not have the ability to satisfy a person. But when a person is satisfied, when he's full, when he's b'shleimus, he's in totality, he lacks nothing, then he's b'simcha. This brings simcha and joy. Torah is perfect. There is nothing lacking in Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima. The Torah of Hashem is full. Lacks nothing. It's not like a painting that is not perfect or unfinished. So therefore, to identify with Torah, you have to be similar to Torah. If a person is a broken person, if he's a person who's always in want, if he's a person who's be'avelus or be'atzvus, he's in mourning, or he's sad, or he's depressed, then he cannot study Torah. He cannot acquire Torah. This is why simcha is a prerequisite to Torah. And this is a very good lesson for us. Because many people, and especially in our generation, think that you can approach Torah with a heaviness, with a depression, with a sadness, or being melancholy, or with a tremendous rigidness. Now, in such a case, a person like that will never acquire Torah. If he wants Torah, he's going to have to be in a situation of satisfaction. He's going to have to be in a situation of happiness and joy. Then he'll acquire Torah. Not in a situation of intensity or rigidness or sadness. And this, the Gemara tells us, is true not only by Torah, but by other areas similar to Torah, such as Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is when a person can understand things that are given to him from higher worlds. Nevuah, prophecy. Shechina. If he wants Ashroz HaShechina, the presence of the Almighty, in a shchina sheira, in a nevua sheira, elamitei simcha, only when the person is full with joy. And we've quoted many times, the Gemara brings, that by the Nevim, if they became upset, and they became angry, all of a sudden their nevuah, their prophecy was lost. And they used to call for someone who could play a harp or a musical instrument to play for them in order that they would regain their happiness, and then their nevuah, their prophecy would come back to them. This is the Gemara tells us in Masechta Psochim. And this was a hallmark amongst great Talmidei Chachomim. Those who had relationships with great Talmidei Chachomim, and not only in casual conversation or in the discussion of important subjects, but especially in the learning of Torah, there was one hallmark, and that was the enormous joy that took place when they studied Torah. This was a hallmark of Talmidei Chachomim, and this was a particular hallmark of the great Talmidei Chachomim of Lithuania, that there was no greater joy by them than when they were studying Torah. So this is Simcha. Now, similar to Simcha, is stated another prerequisite to Kinyan Torah, acquisition of Torah, Yishuv. The Gemara says, in a Tere Nikne Alamitech Yishuv. Person wants to acquire Torah, he must have Yishuv. Yishuv means settledness. He must be quiet, he must be relaxed, he must be settled. What is the purpose of this? This, the Gemara says, because Torah is so deep that a person needs libay pasuach, an open heart, in order to understand the depth of Torah. And a person's heart is opened only when he's settled, he's relaxed, not when he's in a state of duress. And therefore, in a Torah Mikdas, Elamitech Yishuv. The Gemara brings him a Masechta Ervin. Omar of Nachma Yitzchok Shmaitzet Srichat Slutza Ki Yumedi Istano. That Rav Nachma Yitzchok said that the best day for understanding a deep section of Torah is when the air was crystal clear that a north wind was blowing. When a north wind was blowing, it would bring crystal clear fresh air, and that would make a person relaxed and settled, and it would make him attentive, and libay pasuach, and his heart would be open. He says that's the type of day you need to understand a difficult sugya, a difficult subject in the Torah. So these are two similar qualities, Simcha and Yishuv. Incidentally, we've mentioned many times that the Vilna Gaon writes in his letter that he, when he was going to Eretz Yisrael, he was attempting to go to Eretz Yisrael, and later he was going to bring his family. So he wrote a letter of instructions. And there he writes that when you learn with the children, he says you cannot force them to learn. Many times children don't want to learn. So we force them to learn. We force them, you must sit down, you must learn this. And we undertake all types of strategies to force them to learn. He says that's not the way to do it. Because ein ha-Torah nigna l'mitech yishuv. Because Torah will be acquired only if he's settled, if he's relaxed, and b'simcha, if he's with joy. So he says rather than force them to learn, give them temptations that will make them want to learn. For example, promise that if they'll learn well, see, you'll give them some coins, you'll give them some sweets, you'll give them something else. That is a much better method, because Torah will be learned only by those who want to learn. You cannot force someone with Torah. So therefore the strategy must be how to make the child want to learn, not to force him to learn, because of these klalim, these principles. Another attribute which is mentioned here is divuk chaverim. Divuk chaverim means that Torah can be acquired only together with others. A person must have chaverim, a chabura, ein atera niknele b'chabura, that with others. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us how many others. Doesn't tell us if you need a yeshiva of 1,000 talmidim or 26,000 talmidim like Rabbi Kiva had, or 50 or 100. It says merely ein atora nikne ele bechabura divu chaverim. The Maral always learns it means one chaver. It can mean many, it means one. What it means is that a person cannot acquire Torah learning alone. He must have a chaver. That's why it was always the methods in the yeshivas to learn bechavrusa. See, that you learn with another person. Doesn't mean that the entire day you have to learn with chavrusa. Many times it's good to try to understand and give thought to something yourself. But it means also you need a chavrusa. You need a chaver. Divu chaveri. This is a prerequisite in Kinyan Torah. Why? The reason given for this is because there's a difference between the seichel and the dibur. Seichel is the mental capacity of the person. The dibur is the speech of the person. What is the difference? Even though the seichel, the mental capacity of the person, the intellect, the intelligence, is by far the most superior faculty that a person has, but much of it is in a state of potential. Much of it lies dormant. When a person thinks of something, he tries to understand something, tries to solve a problem, when it's in the area of the intellect, it is something which has not come out into the world yet. It is not physical yet. When a person is physical, it is entirely spiritual. To my knowledge, scientists can measure, they can measure the dimensions and the weight of anything physical. They can measure airwaves. They can measure sound waves. They can measure space. But to my knowledge, I don't think they have been able yet to measure dimensions, any types of dimensions of a thought. I might be mistaken, but I don't think so. And from the Gemara it seems that the reason why is because there is no dimension. A thought is not physical. It has not come yet into the physical world. A thought is a spiritual power. The brain can send physical reactions through the body. But a thought itself has no physical entity, has no physical dimension. Not like sound waves, and not like air waves, or not like light. So therefore, even though the intellect is the most superior faculty of the human being, but still it's from a spiritual aspect. It has not assimilated itself yet in the entire physical human being. So therefore, it's potential. It has not come out yet into the real physical world. Dibor, speech, that's when the person takes that thought, he uses physical faculties, a tongue, a mouth, and he brings it into the physical world. Speech waves can be measured, and he communicates it to others. So
So the physical communication of a thought is speech. And then it comes into its reality. It comes into its fullness because we are not angels, we are physical human beings. This is why everyone will tell you that when they study something themselves, they'll understand it pretty well. But when they tell it over to someone else, the fullness of it becomes much clearer. Especially when you teach it to someone else. This is why it's necessary in Atere Niknele Bechabura, even more so with Torah. Because Torah, you're dealing with something from another world. And the whole purpose of Torah is to bring it into this world. Bring it into this world and bring it into yourself. And by understanding it merely with your mind, that's only the beginning. You have not succeeded in bringing it into this world. You are to bring it into your physical self. Therefore, you need a chaver. You need someone to discuss it with, to communicate it to. And therefore, in Atora Nikne Ele Bechabura, and that's what it states, this is the attribute Divuk Chaverim. The Gemara brings on that, it brings a rebuke. When you find in a city Snei Talmidei Chachomim, if you find in a city two Talmidei Chachomim or three Talmidei Chachomim that study Torah, but bad babad, always by themselves. And they never come together for interaction in Torah. The Gemara brings a rebuke on this and says, not only will their Torah not grow, but they will come to error in Torah. Because the Torah's emes, the truth of Torah, can come out only together. And this is why you always found the learning with Chavrusas or Talmidei Chachomim coming together with interaction in Torah. Especially with Torah, because it is so deep and it is from another world. Then another attribute. Pilpul Talmidim. Pilpul Talmidim means the word pilpul means the debating and the sharp discussion with disciples. The Gemara tells us where he said he said, Harbe Teira Lemarati Merabesai. See, we didn't go into it, but one of the prerequisites was to learn from a Rav. You have to have a Rebbe to learn from. So, Harbe Teira Lemarati Merabesai. One of the Amoroim, the rabbis of the Gemara, said that I learned much Torah from my Rebbe. V'yeser Mechaverai. And even more from my colleagues. Umitalmidai Yeshe Mekulan, and from my disciples more than all. Now, all three a person must have. If he learns only with disciples and Chaverim and not a Rebbe, then he won't have Torah Semes, because he has to have somewhere to receive the Torah from. But if he has a Rebbe and he learns from his Rebbe, but he does not have Chaverim, then it will remain in this state of potential, where it lacks the reality. And in addition, he must have pilpul talmidim. He must have disciples also. Now, why is that? What does he need disciples? He has a Rebbe, he has Chaverim. So what does he need disciples for? And he said, Yesha Mikulam. When you have all three, the most you learn is from your disciples. So the Gemara brings an example on this, a mashal. The Gemara says, in Tainus, Dav Zayin Omer Aleph, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Loma Nimshla Divriteir Le'etz, Shneemar Etz Chaim Hil Machazikim Bo. Torah is compared to an Etz Chaim, to a tree of life. Why? Ma Etz Kotna, Madlikas HaGodl. When you want to start a fire, if you're making a braai, when you're starting a fire in a fireplace, you know very well that you cannot start it with big logs. How must you start it? You have to get little twigs. You ignite the little twigs, and eventually the little twigs will ignite the big log. And Torah is compared to wood, to a tree, a living tree, to teach us that just like it takes little twigs to ignite the big log, it takes the small Talmidim to ignite the Talmud Chochum, the learned ones in Torah. They also need the small twigs to ignite them. And that's why Rav Hanina said, "Harbeitera lamadati merabeisai mechaverai yoser mitalmidai umetalmidai yesem mekulam." I learned much from my rebbes, more from my colleagues, and from my talmidim more than all. Now, why is this? Why must you have little twigs to ignite the big log by a Talmud Chacham? So the Maharal says as follows, and from here we can learn something. We all try to avoid confusion. We know confusion is something that we should stay away from. We don't like to be puzzled, and we don't like to be confused, and we don't like to be stumped. That's a sign of cheshich, of darkness. Chokhmah, wisdom, is when everything is solved, solutions, and you see everything clearly. And this is the truth. But what we must understand and remember, that the only way a person can come to the truth is from confusion. It's not good that a person should have no confusion in his life. It's not good that a person should have no puzzles in his life, no riddles in his life. If you go to people that don't think, they're not perplexed. They're not perplexed. They have no problems, and they have no puzzles, so they don't need solutions. People that gain the most are those who are perplexed. In all areas, I am quite sure that a great scientist like Thomas Edison was more perplexed, far more perplexed than the average person. And this is what drove him to solve his problems. The entire Gemara follows one pattern, and that is she'ela v'tshuva. Question and answer, question and answer. If you look through the entire Bavli, that's all it is. Question and answer, question and answer. A problem is presented, a solution is offered, and then another problem is presented, a solution is offered, and then another problem is presented, until finally a solution is offered. Question and answer. And why is this? Because the Gemara says that miteicha cheshech nireh ha'or. One sees light only from darkness. One appreciates light only from darkness. People that have no problems do not appreciate the solutions. People who have no questions do not appreciate answers. Not only they don't appreciate answers, they don't realize the answers. They don't realize what the answer has presented that wasn't presented before. So therefore, in order to come to Chochmah, in order to come to wisdom, there must be a confusion first. There must be questions first. Now the great Chochem, the wise person, that's the great log, the big log, many times he doesn't have questions because everything is more or less ironed out with him. A small child comes to him, and a child's full of questions. So the child asks him this and asks him that and asks him this. And the questions basically would have been too simple for him to ask himself. He wouldn't bother with these questions because these were questions perhaps he bothered with 30, 40 years before, but not now. So having no questions, he needs no solutions. The child presents 5, 6 questions, and all of a sudden, he sees a question, he has to answer it. From there is posed another question, another problem. And these are the small twigs that bring out the great fire in the big log. So that's why it's necessary, pilpul talmidim. Pilpul talmidim is the sharp discussion was the sharp debating of the disciples, because they are the ones who are constantly asking questions that would not be posed by the Chochem himself. And from their questions, he is forced to come up with answers. And this is forced, this forces him into levels of wisdom. Just as the small fire forces the big log to start with a great fire. So therefore, Pilpul Talmidim is also necessary. So from here we learn that it's always important for a person, if he wants to acquire Torah, he has to have a Rebbe, he has to have Chaverim, and he should also have people that he teaches. They will give him wisdom also. And not only will they give him wisdom also, but Mitalmida Yesem Ikulam, they will give him more wisdom than he had before, than from any of the others. He must find someone who is greater than him, and that person he should go study by. Then he should find people who are equal to him, and they should be his colleagues in Torah. And then he should find people that he's greater, and he should go and teach them. And they will bring out wisdom in him. Rebbe Kiveger, the great Gaon Rebbe Kiveger, writes in his Agdoma, he writes in his preface, I believe it's he or his son, Rebbe Shlomo, either he or his son writes that when he used to receive many letters, many queries from Talmidim, from all over, queries in Torah and Halacha, but many from Talmidim, and he never would address them as Talmidai, as my Talmud, as my disciple. Why? Because he said, who knows who learned more from who? Since it's Mitalmidi Yesim Mikulan, you learn from your Talmidim more than anyone. See, he won't address them as his disciple, because who knows who's a disciple of who? Who learned more from who? So that is Divul Talmidim, the pupil Talmidim. Can you open a few windows? I think it's too long. Another attribute that is brought here is Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim means patience. To acquire Torah, you must have patience. You cannot be impatient. Firstly, there's a simple reason why. Because Torah is a very deep wisdom. It's very difficult. And it's going to take much determination and much patience. The person is not going to become wise overnight. He's not going to become wise in two nights either. And many times he's going to have to learn something over, and not once and not twice and not three times, but maybe 10, 20 times before he really understands it. The fact is, we have in the Mishnah Novice in the beginning of the Masechta, where it states, "Hevi mesunim bedin," that when it comes to instructing or exercising, rendering judgment, so the judges are instructed to be patient before rendering judgment. This means that even after they hear all of the arguments and they hear all of the claims and counterclaims and they come to their decision, they're not supposed to give the decision. But Hevi Mesunim Bedin, they're supposed to wait. Be patient. Why? The Gemara learns this out because it states by the Kohen, when he would walk up the Mizbeach, up the altar, it states you do not put steps, but rather you put just an incline. Lo, you do not put mailes lemizbechi, steps. Why? Because if there are steps, he's going to have to take a psia gasva, big steps. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that's not how you go up to the altar. So the Gemara says, from here we learn, Hevi mesunim bedin, that you should be patient when you render judgment. Now what does it mean? Because just like the Kohen, when he would have to ascend to the altar, so he's ascending from the level of the physical world to a spiritual world. And such an ascension can only come level by level. You cannot jump. And therefore, You must be patient. So then even more so when you come to ascend to the levels of Torah. You have to go with patience. And therefore, even when the judges have come to their verdict, they must sleep on it a bit. Because it takes time to reach the levels of Torah Semes, of ultimate truth in Torah. That's why people who are keftsim berosh, they jump right away with answers. Yiddish is called mishpringsech. They jump right away with answers, with psak deens to paskin halachos. That's not the derech haTorah. Heavy mesuni medin. That's why you must be patient. So Torah requires much patience. And the opposite of patience is anger. A person who's impatient, he gets angry. And this is just the contrary to Torah. Because it states, kol hakeis chochmosim istalekes mimeno. Whoever becomes angry, he'll forget his Torah. And it's brought by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe that we just spoke about, who was the greatest in Torah, in three places he became angry, and each time he forgot the halacha. Anger is just the opposite. Now here, there's another reason. Because anger is a situation where a person is in a disorder. When things are perfectly balanced, then he's not angry. Anger is an imbalance. What is anger? Where a person becomes so heated up, so much in a rage, where the rage takes control over the mind and body. There's a saying that if a person becomes angry, he says, I lost my head. And that's true. That's what happened. He lost his head. The rage took over mind and body. And sometimes he becomes so angry, where he does things in his anger that he would not have done had he had his senses about him. He can become uncontrolled. So what is anger? Anger is an imbalance in the human being. You want Torah, you have to be perfect balance. Because Torah is Yoshur. Torah is the perfect balance. It's not to the right and it's not to the left. But Kudi Hashem Yeshorim. Torah is perfect. Perfect balance. So how can a person who's in balance come to be Kena Torah? A person who constantly is angry. That's why the Maral writes in another place why Hillel, it states, was Zecher to have Halacha Kemesai. The Gemara Baskol came down and said that Hillel, the Halacha, the law should be like Hillel's opinion in all of the Torah. This is what the Baskol, a voice from heaven, came down. And the Gemara says, why? Because they were very settled. They never became angry. They never became excited. Anyone who came to talk to them, they listened to them. They allowed the person to talk, to state his case. They didn't shout him down. They listened, and they answered him benachas. They answered him with kindness and with gentleness. This was Hillel. The Gemara brings many examples where people used to try. They used to make wager bets if they could make Hillel angry, and they would come with all types of nonsense. And to try to get him angry, and they couldn't get him angry. What did this show? This was because he was perfect balance. He never went off balance. And this is why the halacha was kemeisa, because what is the halacha? The halacha is the perfect balance of the shmeitzer. See? The perfect balance of the discussions of the Gemara. This is the halacha. So therefore, if a person is going to want to come to Torah, he's going to have the quality of Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim, of patience, lack of anger, perfect balance. Another quality that's mentioned is Lev Tov. He must have a good heart. This also goes with the same principle. You want Torah, you must identify with Torah. To acquire Torah, you have to be similar to Torah. And Torah it says Tov. Ki lekach Tov nosati lochem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what I'm giving you is good. We've mentioned many times where Hashem puts his label good, there can be no better endorsement. Good means perfect. Tov, good. And the world, when he created the world, Vayar Hashem ki tov, he saw was good, and therefore he left it. Otherwise he would have rescinded it. Torah is called tov, good. That's one of the highest descriptions of goodness. Lev tov means a person who constantly wants to do good for others. That's what lev tov means. A person who always wants to, by nature, to do good for others. Moses says you have people who by nature have a lev tov and others who have a lev ra. You have people that want to hurt other people, or they never want to give anything to other people. That person can't be called a Torah, because he can't identify with Torah. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said Torah is good, then at first a person must be good in order to come to Torah. Therefore, lev tov. Another attribute is emunas chachomim. He has to have a belief in what the sages say. This is very important. He must believe be'emunah shleima, with his full heart and faith, that whatever the sages say, the Mishnah, the Gemara, or the Rishonim, this is true, and there is no doubt about it, whether he understands it or not. Then he has the proper approach to Torah. He must approach Torah like one would approach the greatest mountain in the world or the greatest ocean in the world, with a awe and a trepidation, and realize what he's coming to. If a person has the attitude that the words of the sages you can take or you can leave, if you want them you accept, otherwise you reject. Oh, they're nice antidotes. They are nice parables, they're nice stories, like any other book. So then you're approaching Torah like you approach a magazine or a television program or a novel, and you'll never come to Torah. Moses says you have to approach Torah like Torah was given at Sinai. All that went into that. If a person realizes that every word the sages said, every word, hundreds of halachos could be dependent on it. Volumes of wisdom could be dependent on it. Then he has a different approach to what the sages say. And if he understands it, good. If he doesn't understand it, he will seek to, he will labor in it, and labor in it until he understands it more. And he must understand also that their words are so deep that he'll never understand them totally. That way, 1 year he understands them, and a few years later he'll come to a deeper understanding in them. And a few years later, even a deeper understanding in them. Rabbi Kiva, who was from the greatest of all of the sages we ever had, he had such respect for the words of the sages. And perhaps this was one of his great motivations, gave him the great ability to come from such small beginnings to such greatness, that the Gemara brings the story that when he was in the prison, the Romans had locked him up, and he was old, he was 120 years old, and he was weak, and his disciple would bring him every day a little bread and water. And one day the Roman guard saw him coming, and in order to mock him and to oppress him further, he took the water and spilled half of it out. And when he came to Rabbi Kiva with the water, he says, "Why are you late today?" And he told him what happened. And there was only enough water to wash Netilas Yadayim, to wash his hands, and there wouldn't be enough water to drink. And this, that we wash our hands, this is an edict from the Chachomim, from the sages. So he took the water and he used it to wash his hands. So his disciples said, "There's hardly enough for you to drink. Why are you washing your hands?" And he said, "Mutav, it will be better that I die from thirst than avor al divrei chaverai, than to transgress the words of my colleagues." This was the Amunah, this was the faith and the confidence that Rabbi Kiva had in the words of the sages. So how much more so does this apply to us? So therefore, if a person wants acquisition of Torah, he's going to have to have emunas chachomim, faith in the words of the sages. And then one final attribute that we have time for, and that is Ohuv Ohiv Esamokam Ohiv Esabrius. He has to be someone who's beloved. This means he's beloved by Hashem and he's beloved by people. And he loves Hashem and he loves people. Now why is this? This, that he has to be loved by Hashem, because Torah belongs to Hashem. And Hashem gives Torah only to those who he wants to give it to. It states, the Hashem says that he gives Torah li-re'ov. He gives Torah, sod Hashem li-re'ov. He'll give the secrets of Torah to those that fear him. Or it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you see a great chochem, you make a brocha, Asher cholak mechochmosoi li-re'ov, who has imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. So Hashem doesn't give Torah to everyone. He gives Torah to those that he wants to give to those that he's close to. Who do you give a gift to? To those that are close to you. So therefore it must be Ohuv, where he's beloved by Hashem. But why must he be beloved by people in order to acquire Torah? What does that have to do? So this Maral brings two reasons. First of all, it states that kol mish ruach habriyas neichemenu, ruach hamokim neichemenu. That if you want a sign of someone that Hashem loves, the sign is if people love him. If you find someone that people love, that's a sign that Hashem loves him. V'chol mi she'ein ruach habriyas neichemenu, ein ruach Hashem neichemenu. If you find someone that people do not love, they don't like him. He's a Baal Machlekes. He's always involved in Machlekes, in fighting, in Faribel, in strife, or whatever it might be. Then don't think that this person is a Frumer person. Because you cannot be a Frumer person and Hashem doesn't like you. This is what the Mishnah tells us. A person who people like, that's a sign that Hashem likes him. And a person who is disliked by people, that's a sign that Hashem dislikes him. So therefore he's going to have to be Ohuv, beloved to Hashem and people. Because if he's beloved not to people, he won't be beloved to Hashem. And if he's not beloved by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give him his gifts, and his greatest gift is Torah. So if he wants Torah, he's going to have to be beloved. That's one reason. A second reason he brings why he has to be beloved by people, and this is also something very important for us. He says because he has to be Teich HaKlal. Torah was not given to an individual. Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. It was given to all of Israel. It was not given to an individual. An individual has no claim on Torah. Our claim on Torah is that we are part of Israel. Therefore, if a person is beloved to people, then he is Teich HaKlal. He is standing in the middle of the city. He is standing in the middle of society. Then he has a claim on Torah. But if a person is not beloved by people, then he's a Perish Min HaKlal. He is someone who separates himself from the community. Then he's coming with a claim on Torah as a yochid, as an individual. He has no claim. And he will not be zeicher Torah, he will not acquire Torah. And for this reason also, there's another attribute that's brought, haneisei be'ol im chaveri. An attribute that a person needs to acquire Torah is someone who shares with his fellow man's burden. Now why should that have to do? someone who shares with his fellow man in his burden. Because if you see a fellow person has carrying a big burden, whatever the burden might be, physical burden, spiritual burden, mental, emotional, and you ignore it, then it's a sign you're not Tech HaKlal. It's a sign that you are not standing in the center of the community. You have drawn yourself from one side where you can close your eyes to the problems of others. And then you're coming to learn Torah as a yochid, as an individual. Torah was not given to individuals. But if you have a nature to be nasei be'ol im chaveirei, where you're always willing to give a lending shoulder to lighten the burdens of others, this is a sign that you're in the center of the community. If you're in the center of community, now you're coming to acquire Torah as part of the klal, as part of the community. Torah was given to the klal, to all of Israel. And then you have a claim. So this evening, we didn't go through all 48, but we took a number of the attributes that's necessary to acquire Torah. And it's a very big job, because this is the level of the Oren HaKodesh. And the Oren HaKodesh was greater than the Mizbeach, than the Shulchan. And the Shulchan was greater than the Mizbeach. The Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, is greater than the other crowns of kingship and of priesthood. But this was given to all of Israel. Kol mi shereitze, kol mi sheyetze yovei v'yitol. Whoever wants from it, he can go and take. But to acquire it, he has to prepare himself. And these are the preparations for the acquisition of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.